And now our reading.
Reading is taken from Mark chapter 1. The calling of the first disciples. Starting at verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for you've entrusted us with your word. Lord, speak to us now through your word. Amen. So we are at the seaside and at the Sea of Galilee. A lot of things happened around the Sea of Galilee. Jesus walked on the water on the Sea of Galilee. But one of the main trades, surprise, surprise, was fishing. Has anyone ever gone fishing here before? One or two? I don't eat fish, which is one reason why I've never gone fishing. But I have had an aquarium when I was a young boy. I did love tropical fish. Now we meet a couple of brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew. And in scripture we know that their dad was called John. But it doesn't mention what their mum was called, what Simon's mum was called. But I don't think it was Annette. You can imagine the compliments of John and his wife as people go into their house and they say, "Nice place." But it was the children's job to take over their dad's job. As I get older and I lose more hair, if I went back hundreds of years, Elijah and Ezekiel would take on perhaps my job, my profession. So if I was a fisherman, they'd have the business. The boys would have the business. It was security. Because in the times of Christ, he didn't have benefits. Job seekers allowance, universal credit. They didn't have any of those things. So to survive, you took on the business of your parents. It was Simon and Andrew who was going to take on the job of John's business. And you can imagine all the fun that they had, all the memories that they had. You can imagine John saying, "Come on, boys, get your skates on." Or if it was raining, "Can you go and fetch your mackerels?" But they would have had a whale of a time. There we go. Talking of whale, one of the other names of Simon's dad was also called Jonah. So there's two names for Peter's dad in scripture. But one day, Jesus on the beach came along, and Simon Peter's life and Andrew's life was about to change. How has Jesus changed your life? If you know Christ, how has he changed your life? Because the decision that Simon Peter were going to make wasn't just life-changing. It changed the history. The fact that we're meeting here today is on the building block of Christ, yes, but Peter's obedience to follow and become the leader of the church and spreading the gospel message came from obedience, came from leaving what they were about to, leaving their old jobs, their old lives. That takes me on to the first point, leaving. Now it's summertime, and many of you will be going on holiday. So you'll be packing your bags. You'll be thinking, "Oh, we'll go away." It's a big thing. But these boys were going to leave their dad. Would you be sad, Elijah, if you were saying goodbye to me? You said, bye, Dad. Don't know if I'll see you again, but bye. You'd be crying. You said, I don't want to leave you, Dad. Don't want to leave you. They left their security, everything that was going to be theirs. They left for Jesus. Matthew 19, Peter says this. He says, we have left everything to follow you, Jesus. Everything. And Jesus replies, a verse later, and everyone who has left houses, or brothers or sisters, or father or mother, or wife or children or fields, for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Now, many of you who know me know my history of football. It was only less than a week ago that England lost, by the way. So I'm here to comfort all you English people and to celebrate with all you Scots. Now, I'm sure the Scots will celebrate, not celebrating the defeat of England. But two things I wanted to be in life. I wanted to be a minister, but I also wanted to be a professional footballer. And I had trials for Kent, and I played for Gillingham Football Club under 18s. And it was during my A-levels that God said, I want you to give football up. And I did. I left a box of chocolates and a thank you card. I said my goodbyes, and I left, and I never regretted it. But it brings us back the decision that Peter and Andrew made. Jesus is not a hobby, is he? He's not a hobby. He's not a Facebook friend. A lot of Christians treat Jesus like a lifestyle choice. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church maybe once, twice a month. I like that book. I listen to that person. We treat Jesus like, we'll just call on Jesus when we want to, when perhaps we fancy it. But it doesn't work like that. You know the story about the rich young ruler? He kept all the morals. Do you know, if a rich young ruler was alive today, he would fit in with my church. He would be sat amongst us. He would read his Bible. He would do loads of good things and would all say, oh, what a lovely person. Serve in the church, perhaps. But you know, there's something that he didn't do. He didn't leave everything to follow Jesus. He couldn't let go of his money. His money was his number one love. And the danger for you and me is that the things around us can take the place of Christ. Our hobbies, our time. We live in an age where we're very self-centered. It's me. What did I get out of church? What did I get out of worship? We come to church and it's like us as individuals. Well, no. We come as a family. What have you left for Christ in your relationship with him? What have you left? Just to put it into perspective, young people, there's a few here, children. Who would you like to meet? I would have loved to have met Jurgen Klopp. I would have loved to have met Jurgen Klopp. Some people, young people, would have liked to meet Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, Mbappe. Some people would like to meet King Charles or someone else. Now, think in your mind, which most famous person would you like to meet? And imagine they're going to be in London and they've invited you for a personal meeting with that person. You'd get a train ticket, wouldn't you? You'd be desperate to get a train ticket. You've got to make sure that someone takes you there. If I was to meet, I want to say Prince Charles, King Charles, you dress up smartly. All the effort you'd make to meet that person. Now just think, do I make the same effort for Jesus? That's what it means to make Jesus number one in your life. To leave everything, not just half, not just three quarters, but everything. When Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" in Matthew 16, Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter had an invitation to not just follow a prophet, a wise man. He had an invitation to follow the Son of God. And his commitment cost him his life. Tradition says he was crucified upside down. He wasn't involved partly. No, he was involved wholeheartedly, leaving the past behind. Second, meet the present. You're journeying with others, aren't you? You're not just an individual. In our reading today, Simon and Andrew decided to give up everything to follow Jesus, but two other lads decided to go with them, James and John. And for all of you that know your New Testament scripture really well, think about all those amazing experiences and teachings that they experienced together with Jesus Christ. What an amazing journey these four boys went on, and the things that they witnessed and experienced. 2,000 years later, it's us, isn't it? We are on a journey, and we're in a journey with one another. As Baptists, we journey together. Have a look round now to your left and right, and I want you to say, "I'm glad you're journeying with me." So turn to the person to your left, to your right. "I'm glad you're on my journey. I'm glad we're journeying together." So the temptation is to feel that you're on your own. You may feel like going alone, but this is not an individual experience entirely, but a family experience, and it's happening now. We need to walk together, to encourage one another, to disciple one another. We turn up at church as individuals, but we belong to a family. It says in John 1, doesn't it, for those who believe, they were given the right to be called what? Children of God. You and I, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. You're not on your own. We are a family together. 1 Corinthians 13, you probably, 12 to 14 actually, describes the church as a body that we all have a part to play. So we leave the past behind, we meet the present, and we journey with one another. On to my final point. Fishing. How are you at fishing? How good are you at fishing? Jesus talks about being fishers of men. So as we go on this journey, Jesus' intention is for you and I to invite others on the journey. Jesus tells his followers, does he say, "Right, I want you to stay. I want you to hide. I want you to walk on by and make disciples"? No, he says, go. It's intentional. He wants you to go and make disciples. Now, that's not a little name on a card. Yes, you become a Christian on this date, this time. Disciples, it's a journey. We're there to encourage people in their relationship with Christ. Who are you encouraging? Who are you encouraging in their relationship with Christ? When was the last time you spoke to someone about Jesus? When was the last time you prayed for an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus? Maybe, and this is a trap for Christians, maybe we find ourselves surrounded by Christians. Well, all my friends are Christians. All the groups I go to are church-based groups. Or have a think, how can I reach other people? Let's look up some ways we can share. And I've just got a few ideas here, and some of these ideas you know very well. We have the method of invitation, Alpha Course, Christianity Explored. Maybe you get a visiting speaker. Invite your neighbor to hear that speaker. Maybe you have a church social and you want people to come to that church social. That is an invitation. You fish by inviting people to something that somebody else is putting on. Here's one way of fishing that I really like. In Acts 8, Philip and the Ethiopian. What was Philip's method originally? Obviously, God wanted him to listen to what the Ethiopian person was saying. So he walks up to the chariot. He's listening to the questions people are asking. Quite often as Christians, we tell people in 4 points what it is to be Christian, but don't answer the actual question they're asking. Everyone's asking different questions. We need to listen to what people out there are asked, the questions they're asking, because they're not going to get the right answer unless we bring God's truth to that situation. Barnabas and Saul in Acts 9. Barnabas got alongside Saul because no one trusted him. He killed Christians, and suddenly he claims to be a Christian. It took a Christian to get alongside him, listen to Paul, and then he says, excuse me, Saul's with me. He's told me, I'm with him, and I want to encourage him. That's why Barnabas was called son of encouragement. So get alongside people around you. Maybe you know someone who is asking questions about life. Maybe you need to listen to what questions they're asking, and just listen, and then you'll get the opportunity to have input into their lives. And then, of course, there's being brave. Peter addressed the crowd at Pentecost. Sometimes witnessing is about being bold, but not in your own strength. Remember that. We are not fighting against people, are we? But spiritual principalities. When we are given the gospel, when people take the mickey out of you, when people have a go at you, they're having a go at Christ. 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8 says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And there's that very famous verse from Zechariah 4, 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And then there's prayer. One of the trendy things, apart from Christmas, that you have crossovers between us as Christians and the people out there, is that people actually like to ask for prayer. If you were to say to someone, can I pray for you? If you've got a neighbour that's not well, if you meet someone in the street that's struggling and you say, can I pray for you? I find it's very rarely that people say, no, I don't want any prayer. Most people say, yes, thank you, I really would love prayer. In the New Testament, we see Peter going up to people, like in Acts 3, the lame man. And although he was ill and through the power of Christ, he walked. He was meeting people where they're at, but praying for healing. We have Aeneas and Dorcas, other people that were healed. We see people coming to the disciples to meet Jesus through healing, through prayer. We too, the church, can be a place of refuge and comfort where we can pray for people and see Jesus do amazing things in people's lives. And I think sometimes as Christians, our expectation for healing is not so high. We pray for people, but do we believe they can be healed? But wouldn't it be nice if our churches were places where people say, that church, they pray for you. That church, they care for you. So prayer is a really important thing as we reach people. There are probably other ways that we can reach people for Christ. Let's read the book of Acts and Scripture to see other methods. But we need to be shining stars in our community. We need to leave and commit ourselves to Jesus Christ 100%. Let's not be apathetic. We need to appreciate our brothers and sisters at our side because they're journeying with us. And we need to learn how to fish for people to come to that relationship with Christ. Let me pray as we finish. So Lord Jesus, help us to be a people that are passionate about you. Help us to treat you with utmost respect and 100% commitment. Lord, if there's anything in our lives that's dragging us back, that's holding us back, we release that in your name. We give that up. If there's any hobby or anything that's actually not what you'd like us to do, then Lord, we turn away from that and repent. Lord, help us to appreciate the church, that our brothers and sisters, whatever walk of life we've come from, we walk together. But Lord, there's a world out there that's lost in sin. And you want to rescue those people, and you ask us to go and make disciples. Lord, teach us to fish. Teach us to, and give us opportunities to share our faith with others. Amen.